Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Was the thought that maybe not only the football athletes, but all the high school athletes could possibly make some money this year with the NIL, the name, image, and likeness possibility for high school athletes. And we talked about this a while back with Tim Street, who is the director of media relations for OSHA, and the schools voted on it, and Tim's here today to tell us basically how the vote went and whether or not we've got name, image, and likeness as far as the referendums go for Ohio high schools. How are you, Tim?
I'm doing good, Kenny. JT, thanks for having me on. You are right. It was a big day. Certainly a lot to talk about.
All right, so let's get to the NIL vote. How did it play out? How close was it, Tim? And are the athletes going to be able to make money off their name, image, and likeness in Ohio sports this year?
Yeah, the answer is no. Our member schools voted that proposal down, and it wasn't as close as I thought it was going to be. It was almost a 2-to-1 failure on the vote count, where almost double the number of schools voted no as voted yes. So I was a little surprised by that. I didn't know if it'd pass or not, but I thought it'd be a little closer. But certainly, you know, that's why we have the referendum process. You know, in sports, it's kind of like that's why you play the game. So we always want to take these kinds of big picture things to our member schools and give them an opportunity to vote. And this year we had 14 items on our referendum voting slate. Of course, this NIL one was the biggest one. That was the one that certainly had a lot of conversation going. And our schools have spoken. They have said no, that NIL is not something that they want to see at the high school level.
Tim, we'll ask you more about the other referendums, but on my mind, looking through the NIL deal that was going through or was going to be voted on, we see that 9 other states in the country have passed NIL. What are we really talking about here, monetarily speaking, to a kid that's playing maybe a high school sport like football, basketball? What are these kids receiving money-wise, do you think?
Well, for the most part, it's not a whole lot, to be honest. You know, okay. And there are some states of those 9, and you're correct, there are currently 9 that allow it. There are some states where the executive director has told us that they have not seen much NIL activity at all at the high school level. But I'll give you a couple scenarios. Now the one scenario would be, let's say we have the next LeBron James. You know, if NIL was in existence at the high school level when LeBron played, he would have made millions. You know, it's similar to what your big deals at the college level could be. But that is few and far between. The other scenario that I have given a lot is your local mom and pop pizza place or ice cream parlor that would give a local well-known high school student athlete $100 to advertise the Wednesday night special on the player's Instagram account. Mm-hmm. So that would most likely happen a fair amount. I don't know if it would really happen in the big cities, but you know, in a lot of towns across Ohio, where your local high school student athlete is very well known, has if they have a large social media following, advertising a product or a company could definitely generate a few dollars.
Tim, as I looked through some of the referendums, I saw a bunch of them. I couldn't possibly read them all, but they were issues 6B through, I believe, 10B, and it had to do with transfers. Did the NIL deal have any influence at all on the transfer policies, and what can you tell us about those referendums?
Yeah, you know, the 14 items, and this is the way our member schools and specifically the principals that cast the vote, they would certainly know what I'm saying here, that for the most part, the referendum items are all passed by a wide majority because they're items to edit or tweak or clean up a particular bylaw. I should say this first, guys. You know, any change or even an edit to the OHSA constitution or bylaws has to be approved by referendum vote. So a lot of those issues are more a small edit or just tweaking a bylaw. But some of them are certainly major. You know, competitive balance. Boy, that was, you know, 8 years ago now. But the competitive balance years where the proposal failed three times and then passed on the fourth time, that was certainly a big one. We had another issue this year that failed, and that was a proposal that if a public school student wanted to play a sport that their school didn't have, that student could potentially play that sport at a neighboring public school district. So that was the other one that failed. That one was really close. But, you know, the others, certainly, I think our schools are going to look at those others and kind of look at it as a slam dunk that this is good for the handbook, this is good for our bylaws and constitution.
You know, Tim, that one hit home last week because Kenny and I, we covered our very first high school boys lacrosse game, and it was Friday night Jackson versus North Canton Hoover, and yet we've got two teams in the Federal League that neighbor up against both of these school districts that don't play boys lacrosse.
Yep. Yep. Well, you know, the one issue that I think about a lot is a school not too far from you, Berlin Highlands. Berlin Highland does not have football. And, you know, there's some schools over in the western part of the state. Lincoln View, for example, is a baseball powerhouse. They don't have football. So I kind of look at football first. But if your school does not have football, but you want to play football, you know, for example, could a Berlin Highland young man who wants to play football, should he be able to go over to, let's say, Sugar Creek Garraway and play football? Well, that was the proposal that was on, and our school said no. Our schools voted that down.
Yeah, and that ticks me off a little bit because it should be in the best interest of the kids, and what the kid can't play football or he's got to transfer, right? Then you're dealing with transfer rules then, Tim, aren't you?
Yeah, you are. Yep, you're absolutely right. Yeah. And, you know, part of why that proposal got on the ballot this year, you might remember this. I think it was 4 years ago now, a state law, it happened to squeak through on the budget bill, a state law now allows that scenario to happen if a student attends a private school that does not have a sport. They are allowed by law to play that sport at the local public school. We actually lobbied against that, but, you know, it got through on the budget bill. That's an act of legislature work downtown. So this proposal was meant to counter that at the public school level. But I think the scenario that I heard a lot that was a question is, let's say we'll stick with football. Let's say your school has 10 boys that are say, yes, we want to play football. Well, you need more than that. If this rule was in effect, maybe all 10 of those would just disperse to other schools. But since the measure failed, what would have a team? So I understand here, let's go. And maybe then they would have a team. So I understand here, let's go. And maybe then they would have a team. So I understand why schools would vote no on that. I would tend to vote yes on that because sure, if the Berlin Highland situation is a great one that I say all the time is, if you're a young man at Berlin Highland, you want to play football, you have no option to play football.
Right, yeah, and that's what upsets me a little bit. I'm all about the kids when it comes to this kind of stuff. And we're happy to have with us Tim Streed from the OHSAA, Director of Media Relations. The NIL referendum did not pass in Ohio for high school sports. All right, Tim, so does this mean it's done, it's dead, or does this come up every year now for a vote?
Well, I certainly don't think it's dead. You know, I think this is going to stay in the crosshairs of high school sports conversation for a while. You know, just like it is at the college level. You know, it seems crazy. It was less than a year ago that NIL came to college athletics, and it gets talked about a lot, especially how it's had some of those unintended consequences, which at the college level has been mainly with transferring and even with recruiting. You know, recruits want to go in some cases where they're going to get the bigger NIL deal. You know what I think at the high school level, you know, our member schools will certainly give feedback, and our board of directors will certainly continue to talk about this, and our legal counsel will, and our staff. So we're going to keep talking about it. The vote was so strong against it. I don't know if we would necessarily, as a staff, push to have this on the ballot again. That would be up to our board of directors, certainly. Back in competitive balance, the vote was so close that we did say, okay, let's tweak it a little bit and put it back on. But this was a pretty resounding no. So I don't know if we would really vote to, let's already say, hey, let's get this on the ballot again next year. Too early to tell on that. But certainly we're going to keep talking about it, and we're going to see if there are issues that arise this summer or fall on the NIL front with a high school student athlete. I think that's what everyone's kind of holding their breath for now.
I think college football and basketball make it a forefront topic in name, image, and likeness, but that's not to say that in high school a kid can't be a professional athlete. And I was reading on issue 11B, a kid at the high school level can be a professional athlete and still play another sport. Now, the problem that I see in that, Kenny, this goes back to when you and I were in college, back in the days when we were BW and we would play Dayton. We were Division III in football. Dayton was Division I in basketball. But lo and behold, a lot of their players on the football team just happened to be Tim Streed basketball players. So we were going up against Division I athletes anyway. So I'm just wondering if that'll come into play at all. And do you think about things like that? And obviously, I'm sure you leave no stone unturned when you're thinking about referendums like issue 11B.
Well, you know, we do think about that. That's pretty rare for that to happen. And, you know, a lot of times that is not even with one of our sports. I can think of a couple of scenarios where a student has been quote unquote pro, or at least they've competed for money, like in e-gaming or, you know, video games. Or they've won money in a surfing contest or roller skating, you know, things like that. That I think that bylaw's in there mainly to clarify, hey, you can earn money doing these other things, but if you're going to be a high school football player, you're not going to earn money being a high school football player. But, you know, all those kinds of scenarios are ones that we think about, that get talked about, and we just have a great staff there that, you know, Kristen and Ronald and Alexis, and working with our legal counsel, Steve Craig, that just really helps sort out those kinds of situations and issues so that we can all, our goal is to have a equal playing field, a level playing field, and I think we come as close as we can.
Steve Craig from Canton, Ohio.
Absolutely, Steve Craig from Canton, Ohio.
Beautiful.
There you go. Hey, Tim, performance awards. I saw there was a referendum there with what you can, the amount of money or the amount of the award you can give a kid for a performance in a game. Did that increase? Did I see that correctly?
Yeah, that went up to $500. And I've not heard of many awards that go up to $500. But that would be a scenario where, well, for example, if a young man is the WHBC player of the game, they're gonna, you know, they're allowed to receive gifts for being named that award. For example, a T-shirt and a hat and gift certificates to restaurants and those things. The award could be up to $500. I think that's there are some conferences that have a conference player of the year that student earns, like a video gaming system or a warm up suit. That I think that value keeps going up a little bit because of awards like that. I remember when I was at OSU that monetary value kept going up because the cost of the Nike warm-up suits kept going up. So they had to raise the dollar amount. Boy, that seems like it's a million years ago now. But that dollar amount just went up a little bit because some of the gifts could be a little bit more higher in value.
All right, so here's my question on that. Let's say we do four Kent McKinley games. And the same kid has his best game of the year when we're doing the games on the radio, and he's our player of the game for that game. Is he allowed then four different up to $500 awards? Is that legal?
Yes, it is. Yeah. And that could happen. And part of the reason why is because all players in that game, you know, are eligible to win the award, you know, okay. And that scenario you described certainly could happen. But I tell you what, if HBC starts giving out $500 awards every game, I'm going to be knocking on your door for a lunch here at some point, Ken.
I was just thinking about, I'm like, what if we got like a NTB tire come, right? You get here's four tires, kid, put them on your car, right? And it could be like $485, right? Plus tax, it's $499.99 or something like that. We get, it's just, you know, I remember, and I grew up in Pennsylvania, Tim. And we would get a plaque. That was the biggest, you know, we had a dinner at the end of the year. If you were the local TV game on tape delay, player of the game, you went to a dinner and you got a plaque at that dinner. That was it. But now things are changing mightily, and that's why I was wondering about the NIL. Did this go up because the NIL didn't pass, or did that not have anything to do with it, Tim?
Good question. No, that did not have anything to do with the NIL. No, that's... Yeah, separate issues there. I can see the correlation, but no, raising the dollar amount of the award, that was one of the early referendum items that our board approved to go on there. That was not related to the NIL proposal, but I know what you mean with the awards going up. I remember I got a $25 gift card to Godfather's Pizza because I was the Marion WMRN player of the game, and you would have thought I won the Super Bowl. I'm taking mine. Girlfriend to Godfather's, here we go. I'm the player of the game. I got $25.
Now, we just, there's the new nick. We always like to have nicknames for our guests. And by you telling us you won that award, you are going to be the Godfather from now on. Every time we have, he's the Godfather of the OHSAA. It's Tim Street. See that? I love things when they come together,
Tim,
like that.
Last week they rededicated Thurman Munson Memorial Stadium here in the Hall of Fame City. Any chance, and has there been any dialogue about maybe moving the state tournament here?
Not that I've heard of, guys, to be honest with you. I know that we have a 3-year deal with Canal Park in Akron. I think I had seen a headline or a tweet at somewhere about Thurman Munson Stadium that it was undergoing that renovation. I don't think I had heard that it was done yet. But, you know, I do know this, that Emily Mason's our baseball administrator, and she is always looking for good tournament sites. I know that we have a real good one in Akron with Canal Park. But certainly our state tournament venues, you know, move around a little bit sometimes. And what I would say is for those folks that run the stadium is to make sure they reach out to our office and share the information. And, you know, what we do want certainly is a lot of great sites for our regional tournaments. You know, we have our regional tournaments at minor league ballparks around the state and college stadiums around the state. And we certainly are always on the eye for one of those. But
Godfather.
That's great to know that Thurman Munson got an upgrade. I've been a long time since I've been there.
Godfather, they built it with turf. It's artificial turf. There's no rainouts, Godfather. Just saying.
And there's more stadiums that have turf now. We have a district and a regional tournament down at the Chillicothe Paint Stadium. That's an independent league minor league team. That's just all turf, and you're right, no rainouts, and you just wait for it to stop raining hard and get going. So that's great that they're putting in turf. That's definitely going to be an attractive site.
Kenny, make him an offer he can't refuse. Go ahead.
I know. I was going to say, absolutely. We'll get that squared away, and we'll have something rocking and rolling there in Canton, hopefully in the not-too-distant future. Tim, we always appreciate the time and the information. So NIL does not pass. We don't have to worry about that this year. We'll see, though, if it gets the referendum ballot for next year. And thanks for joining us today and enlightening us, and let us know if there's anything we can do for you, Godfather, all right?
Hey, that sounds great. I appreciate that. My only wish is that pizza place was still open in Marion. It closed down. But nevertheless, great to be with you again. Let's chat again soon.
All right, sounds great. There he is, Tim Street, the OHSAA Director of Media.